Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the weekend edition of the Andrew Shatkin Show. Sometimes it's at 6:30 in the evening, Monday through Friday. Other times 8 o'clock. Other times 9:30. And during the weekend, it's sometimes usually it's 8 o'clock or 11. However, I enjoy doing this, and the show, in many respects, has a theological and a religious emphasis, although I speak about other things. And tonight, the topic will be mercy and judgment. Or maybe you could say mercy, love, and judgment. And I'm going to go into this in a minute and explain my perspective on this issue, this religious and theological issue. But I do want to give a little bit of background about myself. This is a politically incorrect show. It's a show not concerned with political ideology or media lies or media falsehoods or political rhetoric or propaganda, if you will. It's concerned with truth and facts and critical thinking, arriving at truth and facts. And I urge and I maintain adamantly the importance of books and great books, the great books of the past, to govern our thinking in this respect. The second thing about how I run this show is I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and of course I adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, Nicene, Athanasian, and Apostles' Creed, the statement of the true faith for many, many thousands of years. And next, I also, if I read something, it's going to be C.S. Lewis, it's going to be G.K. Chesterton, it'll be T.S. Eliot, all Christian thinkers, and it'll be Dante, it'll be Milton, it'll be Augustine, it'll be St. Paul's epistles. I have to urge that all of these writers are very great thinkers and well worth reading and musing on, and I have to say that of all the greats, the greatest is St. Paul, the greatest religious mind and thinker that ever lived. One of them, anyway. Although I have to say Milton's Paradise Lost and John Milton's Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes are among my very, very great favorites in terms of Christian thought, or in addition to Bob Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, another of my favorite books. Next, I want to talk about the fact that this is the show. I run the show with the idea of podcasts and Blog Talk Radio, where these have Christian orientation, but many people from many Muslim countries and many other countries visit this Blog Talk Radio show and podcast show. Over 4,500 people from many countries have visited these shows. And I'm pleased to say that our dear Muslim brothers and sisters are interested in Christian thought, are intelligent enough to look into it and understand it. They have not closed their minds, which is the correct way to function. Since I personally welcome all faiths, all ideas, all opinions that are available to me that I can be informed about. So all faiths are welcome on this show. Next, I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, 5-6 Christian books, and 2 legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2. And the Christian books I've written are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, as well as a recent book on the Psalms, an analysis and meditation on all 150 Psalms. Psalms, to me, they are the fruit of the mind of God in Christ. They are fantastic. They are lyric poetry of a very advanced, thoughtful character. To read the Psalms is to be raised up, as any great book raises you up. And not to read these great books, and not to read the Psalms, I have to say, is to be pulled down. John Donne has said of his son, the great Anglican poet, that the Psalms are the manna of the church, meaning they are what the church is all about. To read the Psalms is to read greatness. To be exposed to the Psalms is to be exposed to great lyric poetry. And to be exposed to the Psalms is to be exposed to great religious thinking beyond belief. Next, I am planning other books, a book on the miracles in the Bible. I have two blogs, compilations of my blogs. These are two volumes, which I'll soon be publishing. And I'm also writing a book on the book of Job. Job is one of my favorite books. He was not Jewish. He was a Greek, likely, was thought to be a Greek. And the book of Job is in the form, in many respects, of a Greek play or Greek tragedy. It's a wonderful piece of work, and I'm going to write about it and comment about it with great joy and happiness that I can speak about the book of Job. I have written three very extensive articles, two academic articles, which were bought by the State Department. Academics is an Albanian scientific journal published in Albania, and they published two of my articles on education in the United States and on sexual orientation discrimination, which I oppose. And these have been bought by many hundreds of European libraries all over the world, more important by the State Department. And I have also written a book for an article for the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure. And that book has been bought not only by the State Department, but by the United States Supreme Court. And so these articles have been very widely bought by many European, German, and libraries in Europe, Spain, Italy, etc., and by China and Japan. That's just tapping the surface, the surface of the number of libraries in the world that have purchased these books and articles. As I say, I look forward to writing other books. For me, print is still a medium of intellectual acumen and information. And a world without books, I repeat this, is a world sinking into darkness. And our society is moving to a world without books, and a world without books is entering the kingdom of darkness. It's entering ignorance. It's entering intellectual destruction, essentially. I can't say what the result will be, but the result will not be good, okay? Every great book that has been written is well worth reading, whether Dickens, whether Thackeray, whether Joseph Conrad, whether Jane Austen, or E.M. Forrester. These are some of the very great writers that I read and enjoy. Tonight I'm going to talk about mercy and judgment. Now, when people talk about Jesus and Christianity, they seem to mainly have the idea that Jesus is a very nice person, he's a very kind person, he's a very loving person, and he's a very merciful person. And I suppose he is. He says, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, love your neighbor. These are all wonderful ideas and advice. And Jesus was, in his own time, had many followers who were poor, and if you will, sinners, meaning ritual law sinners, or sinners of the moral law. And Jesus is representing as forgiving people. For example, the woman caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. They were about to stone her, and he said, go and sin no more. And he urges us to forgive constantly, to forgiveness. He wants a world without rancor, without hostility, and he wants a world of forgiveness, which is the right thing to do and be. But I have to say that the Jesus of history is not merely a nice person, which is most people want to see Jesus as a nice person. I suppose he was. But basically, that's as far as it goes in most people's mind as to the historical Christ. But Jesus was not quite that. First of all, he died on the cross for our sins. And we believe that, as Christians believe that. And that was an act of justice. It's an act of, not of mercy, but of justice. of taking away the sin of the world by sacrificial death. So Jesus, God, is very concerned with justice, not merely love, not merely mercy, but justice. And so, I'll give you another example. There's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man ignores the plight of the poor man suffering by his side, where he's thrown some bits of food, and we're told that the rich man is condemned in hell, and the poor man is in heaven. So what are we going to make of this? Is this this is a warning from Jesus. Jesus made, I have to say, unfortunately, Jesus made many warnings about hell and punishment. This is an unpleasant reality. The church does not talk about it. And in a sense, maybe you shouldn't talk about it because the gospel is good news for people. Namely, it's good news for love and salvation and eternal life. So it's the right thing to do to emphasize that. But Jesus makes many comments about punishment and eternal death. Again, in Matthew 23, there's a prediction that that the nations will be judged, and those who have not fed the hungry, clothed the naked, visiting those in prison, etc. It's said by Jesus that those people will be judged. And in fact, one of the essential elements of the Christian faith is there will be a judgment. Now, Jesus advises us not for human beings to make this judgment. It's not for us to judge because humanity doesn't have the capacity to make the correct judgment. It's only God that can discern, have the perception of judging things rightly and persons correctly. God is like an x-ray. Human beings are not like an x-ray. They may judge people because of their clothes. They may judge people because of their wealth. They may judge people because of their race. On 100 factors, they make judgments. But the judgment is left to God. That's the key. And but there will be a judgment. And Jesus says there will be a final judgment where people's lives will be weighed in the balance, and they will be judged either to be condemned, unfortunately, and that may happen to me for all I know, since I have my cadre of sins and failings as much as anybody. But the fact of the matter is that in many respects, Jesus makes judgment a very essential element. It is a very essential element of the Christian faith, since God made a judgment on humanity in the death of Christ and found it necessary to die to bring people to heaven and save them from their sins. And so, yes, Jesus is very concerned, very, very concerned, not only with love, not only with mercy, not only with goodness and kindness, but he is concerned with judgment. And the judgment is real. I wouldn't know what's going to happen to me. I hope I pass it as an effective person who has led a relatively effective life, a good life. However, I may not be so. In God's eyes, I'm like, God is making the judgment and not me and not you. The judgment of God is accurate and perceptive. He is not fooled by the surface positions that people take about themselves. He penetrates into the heart and mind of every single human being and makes a judgment. The judgment is accurate, and we are told that there will be a final judgment, and we are told in many, many sections of the Gospels, Jesus talks about judgment and condemnation many, many times. I'm going to talk about this again on Monday, but I hope I've opened your minds to the reality of the Christian faith, which involves justice and judgment, and not merely kindness and humanity, although these are essential elements of being a Christian. But Jesus does make it clear that we will be and are to be judged. And the nature of the judgment will be our lives and how we lived, what we've done in behalf of other people. That is the reality of the Christian faith, that there is a judgment, that we are judged, and that this judgment is beyond our control, and we will be seen as we are. Perhaps you might say the judgment will be us human beings, me, you, everybody, being seen as we really are, not as we would wish to have others think of us to be, or wish to fool people to think of us to be. God is not fooled, and this X-ray will be penetrated into every person's soul and lives, resulting in a judgment about them. Will they be saved? I would hope so. I certainly hope that I will be saved by the grace and love of Christ. But the reality of the gospel is that there is and will be a judgment. And in element and understanding Jesus' nature and message is not only his love and mercy, but his judgment on all humanity. I hope you enjoyed this little talk, and I'll be in touch again tomorrow night.